You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We saw the tragic news over the weekend that a teenage cyclist was hit and killed in Auckland. The 19-year-old was passing through the Royal Oak roundabout when he got into a collision with a people mover and was pronounced dead at the scene. In the 10 weeks of 2022, 10 cyclists have sadly died on our roads. While Auckland Transport has adopted Vision Zero, an approach that aims for zero deaths on our roads by 2050, there is a desire for a more immediate response. I spoke to Tony Mitchell, Chair of Bike Auckland, and started by asking him whether we'll see a change in the urgency of reforms as gas prices get steeper and more Kiwis turn to cost-efficient transport, such as cycling.
Well, I mean, gas prices have certainly gone up recently, and we've seen that with oil, with a shortage in supply chains, but also with the war in Ukraine. But really, that's only going to be short-lived, and there will be other factors which will balance out the price of petrol. So whilst it's a factor in the short term, I think there's some major other factors that people are looking at, like the overall emissions and wanting to make Auckland a livable city. That's driving a change for people to want to get out of their cars and look at other modes of transport.
For non-cyclists, the safety of those on bikes is an issue that kind of only tends to be spoken about in response to a tragedy like how we saw on Saturday, whereas for cyclists like yourself and your team at Bike Auckland, this is at the forefront of your minds every day. Could you just speak on what it's like to be a cyclist in Auckland?
Yeah, firstly, look, we're deeply saddened about the tragedy that happened over the weekend, and our thoughts are with the family and friends of Levi. It is truly, truly saddening. And, you know, for cyclists out there everywhere, there's been an outcry of their concerns over safer streets. And, you know, I've been cycling since I was eight. I started cycling to school. And I've ridden in Auckland a lot. But you still don't feel safe, even though you've built up some sort of desensitisation to it. And we're constantly, as we're riding, constantly thinking for the drivers. And every time you go out as a cyclist, there's at least one incident where you need to take evasive action to avoid an incident. And that happens all the time, and it happens more than once. And over the time, you do develop the ability to be able to respond in advance, but you just shouldn't have to. You should feel safe on the streets, and you should have protected lanes to help you feel safe. You know, I've got five children aged between 9 all the way through to 18. And, you know, right now in Auckland, and I'm not comfortable with them riding on the streets at any of their ages, in particular around some areas. I think that more needs to be done.
So Auckland Transport has adopted the Vision Zero campaign. Could you just explain a bit about what that is and whether you think this campaign has made cycling safer since it was adopted?
Yes, so look, Auckland Transport has adopted the Vision Zero, and I think we need to acknowledge that they have actually taken a bold stand with this. And it took a lot of, I think, guts to be able to say we're aiming for zero incidences, zero fatalities and injuries on our roads. However, the time frame that's been looked at is reaches out to 2050, and that is a long, long way away. So whilst it's an ambitious and lofty and great target to go for, I think there's still concern that not enough has been done in the short term to be able to rectify some of the challenging areas in our streets. And look, what Vision Zero has at its core is that, you know, it's not acceptable to have one death on our streets with traffic, whether it's cycling, walking, or in cars. It's just not acceptable. And it's based on a system that was developed in Sweden in the 1990s. And that system was more about it's safety first, it's about people, and it's about efficient transport. And it also builds into its design that, you know, people do make mistakes every day when they're walking, cycling and driving. But people shouldn't have to pay with their lives if they make a mistake. And it's about building a system that will actually accommodate mistakes that motorists, cyclists and walkers might make. And, you know, an example of that is how you might change roundabouts or how you might put in dedicated cycle lanes with protective barriers, protective concrete barriers that ensure that, you know, traffic can't jump from one side to the other.
So your team at Bike Auckland, you guys have made your frustrations with the Royal Oak Roundabout known for years. You've even referred to it as the Bike Bermuda Triangle. What sort of feedback have you given Auckland Transport, and do you feel like you've been listened to?
So yeah, you're right. I mean, Bike Auckland, but also the local community has given their feedback over the years, and we've run consultation with the local community and also with Bike Auckland to help provide feedback, especially when they were looking at the recent changes for the roundabout. You've got five major roads going into that one area, so that does create a significant challenge. And the feedback that came back from the community, number one, is they wanted it to be made safer for cycling. And look, unfortunately, what we've seen with what the design has is that feedback hasn't been taken into consideration. They have put in place raised zebra crossings, and so it is safer for pedestrians, but there's not a lot else. And some of the other feedback that goes to that roundabout was ensure you have a protected cycle lane leading up to and also around the roundabout, ensuring that you lower the speeds leading into the roundabout. So that would mean taking the speed zones down from 50 through to 30 kilometres, which has a significant impact in reducing the impact of a crash and the impact that would happen on a pedestrian or a cyclist. That becomes a lot more survivable for the individuals. So look, there has been, as I said, significant feedback provided. And as well as that, there was also discussion and feedback around the parking on the side of the street, that where this is unsafe and would risk cyclists, that parking should be removed. And look, of course, as we know, along Manukau Road, it is actually a single lane traffic both ways, and the car parking is all the way along that road as well. And if that car parking had been removed and where it had been removed, or there had have been dedicated cycle lanes, that stretch of road would have been much safer.
So there were protests in the 70s in the Netherlands, a so-called cycling revolution that has kind of turned them into the cycling culture they are today. Do you see that same impetus, that same desire in New Zealand for significant change?
Yeah, look, the Dutch revolution with regards to cycling is something that we should really look at. And they had significant problem in the 70s with traffic accidents and deaths from cyclists, but they also had significant pollution as well. And what we saw is some groups, some activist groups, not just cycling, but also environmental groups, really lobbied hard. And also they engaged and they got on side local politicians. And we saw local politicians really take a stand and drive change. And from there, what we saw is a few cities around the Netherlands decided to put in place safe infrastructure for cycling and help support alternative modes of transport. And from there, national policies and guidelines were put in place to help the Netherlands transform. And so we're now at a situation in the Netherlands where I think it's 27% of journeys are actually made by bicycle at a national level. But it certainly wasn't like that back in the 70s or 80s. And the two things that I see that happened is that not only there was a public reaction to wanting change, but there was strong political leadership that drove that change as well. Look, and I think we've got the people that want this change. I think we've got factors within the world, as you mentioned, gas prices, but also Omicron and people wanting to actually have, you know, safer other alternatives to be able to travel to work or commute. And people want to have a sustainable city and reduce emissions. And what we need now is we need strong political leadership to be able to step up and really help inspire this change within New Zealand.
And just finally, how can our listeners support your organisation at Bike Auckland and the good work you guys do?
Yeah, so Bike Auckland, we have a website. So if you go there, if you search us on www.bikeauckland, you'll be able to find us out there. And, you know, we have events all the time within regions, within local communities around Auckland, whether it's a local ride or whether it's a get-together for a chat and a coffee. We're having those sort of events all the time, and they're discussing how we can help and drive change within Auckland. So look out for that. We have events, other events that we provide parking and things for, but we love volunteers. So if you want to come along and help out with any of our events or just join as a member, just check us out on our website. And we've got a great team there that would love to work with people to help do what we can for making the city safer on bikes.
Awesome. Tony Mitchell, Chair of Bike Auckland, thank you so much for speaking to me.
Thank you.
That was me speaking with Tony Mitchell, Chair of Bike Auckland.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.